In only 2 days, you can move your career further, faster with a Harvard DCE Professional and Executive Development Program. Advance your leadership skills, craft smarter business strategies, build your network, and move your career in the right direction. You'll earn a certificate of completion, add Harvard to your CV, and become the leader you want to be. Our intensive programs are designed to fit into your busy schedule. Attend online or on the Harvard campus. Search Harvard Professional and Executive Development to learn more.
Welcome back to Your Tech Report. For gadget news and reviews, click to yourtechreport.com.
Our next guest is the founder of a company that I'm intimately familiar with, and that is OWC. You can find them over at maxsales.com. Larry O'Connor, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being with us.
Hey, glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Larry, hot off of CES 2022. Wow, it's been the past couple of years have been like this whirlwind of craziness being stuck at home. How did it feel being in person, seeing people, touching people, letting people touch your products for the first time in a while?
You know, nothing beats being in person, you know, with people and being able to talk about the product, talk about people's needs, you know, face-to-face versus, you know, doing this stuff over Zoom. And nothing compares to that face-to-face.
Larry, you guys did not stop during COVID. I know we spoke a couple times over the pandemic, and regardless of being virtual, you guys are a machine. Like, I mean, there was very little stopping you guys. You went to virtual really, really quickly. Everything was already in place, as you told us last time. So how has it been for you? Like, if you were to describe the last few years, do you feel like you lost some momentum? Did the momentum stay there? Were you able to keep it? Was everybody kind of still engaged and super, super happy to be on board?
You know, we absolutely kept momentum. I think there was a lot more work to keep the momentum. We have a lot of new things that came up. But, you know, compared to if we'd been in person, you know, I think we would have had far more acceleration. The momentum continues. I mean, things are, you know, rolling really great. We just had our first, you know, a couple major in-person events for our own organization, a big strategic meeting last week. We had our Christmas parties in Austin and up north with literally people around the world attending. Now, nothing, I have to say, there's just nothing come close to having people in the same room, you know, talking to each other.
You know, OWC has been around for a long time, and you're an extremely responsive company. And I say that in a very positive light, because there are sometimes companies are responsive in a negative way, but you guys are responsive because, you know, Apple comes out with new products, other companies come out with new products, and there's never too much of a beat that's missed before there's a new OWC product that fills a gap or fills a need for something that we're missing in a product that exists out there. And these two products, or two product lines that we're going to talk about that you guys launched at CES, really do fit that formula. And I want to start with the Mini Stax SDX. Can you describe what this product is and what market that exactly fills?
Sure. You know, the Mini Stax SDX, you know, from a market point of view, I mean, that's anything from home to business. It's anything from, you know, just adding more storage and backup to, you know, some video production, even, you know, a big place for audio production in particular. But it gives you more Thunderbolt. Everybody needs more Thunderbolt ports, Type-C ports, whether you're connecting USB-C or Thunderbolt 40 gigabit devices. And in addition to being a Thunderbolt 4, effectively a Thunderbolt 4 dock, it also gives you additional storage via a 2.5-inch or 3.5-inch hard drive, as well as an M.2 NVMe. So you can have a giant backup or a giant repository drive at a relatively low cost per terabyte or gigabyte for, you know, media and output. And then you can have an NVMe drive, high performance, up to 8 terabytes inside, you know, for various production and higher performance need applications.
Now, this really does blend in a lot of different products into one, because if you look at the OWC product lineup, you can see there are great hubs, there's great external storage solutions, and it brings everything together in a package that works so seamlessly with the Mac Mini design. I mean, whether you sit it on top or you sit it beneath, I mean, it looks beautiful on a desk, and it really does fit the need quite nicely. This product, I'm assuming, when you say with the audio side, why do you say audio more than video on in terms of, you know, powerhouse?
Sure. You know, Thunderbolt 4 has different limitations for storage. You know, whereas we have our Thunderblade, which is really there for whether it's ingest or even production work, you know, that maxes the Thunderbolt 4 bus for data transfer. When using the Mini Stack, which provides you with a hub, you're faster than the fastest hard drive, but the NVMe SSD is going to max out, you know, around 800, 900 megabytes a second. And that's because with any sort of hubbing, there's only a single lane available for the actual storage side. Now, for a lot of video work, that's plenty of performance. I mean, people, you know, kill for that performance, you know, just a few years ago, is you get into the higher end 4K, certainly you go into 6K and 8K of video workflows. You know, that's not going to be quite enough for that kind of work, but it's absolutely for photography, for audio, for high definition, and even a lot of 4K video work, it's faster than real time. So the applications are pretty wide. I just don't want the price to be classified as, hey, it's going to give me the same speed as an Envoy Pro bus powered external, which again is another one of our SX and our FX will max that bus. But for typical needs, again, and this is where it's such a fine line. I look at some of the some reviewers look at real world. How did this work with my application? Hey, this was awesome. Other reviews, they published the big old, the artificial, benchmarks, and without really talking about how it impacts applications. And for a lot of applications, a drive doing 1,000 megabytes a second, plus a drive that has high I/O, operations per second. So it's, a lot of things aren't so much dependent on that 2,000 megabytes a second. They're dependent on maintaining high I/O because they're doing small data transactions.
And these are becoming more and more popular, I guess, with people switching to using laptops more and more, or even tablets like the Surface, for example. I mean, the ability to just kind of walk around and be mobile with your laptop or your Surface and be able to pop to your desk and suddenly have your two screens, or three if you're actually considered the one on your device, plus the extra storage, et cetera, with one cable. I mean, that's become like almost the dream that now you guys have fulfilled in the past, but continue to kind of blow our minds in terms of the capabilities here.
Yeah, totally. Gosh, I almost forgot the iPad. I mean, the iPad Pro, plugs into this as well. And that's the thing, the way we offer it, you can buy it without any drives and put whatever you want inside of it. We offer it with just drive storage alone. So you get the drive storage, a hard drive, plus the ports, or you can get it with just an NVMe in the ports. And then we offer it hybrid, where you get both an SSD as well as the storage. A lot of people like that because they use the SSD for their live work. And then they get all that massive storage to have your different backups, to have your media archive, to have the things that don't need to be in the fastest, don't need to have expensive SSD storage.
OWC Atlas series, this was another announcement at CES. Walk us through this because, a media storage and card reader, is there some jellyfish DNA that I feel might have come over the crossover here?
We have a lot of feedback from a lot of customers, especially on the jellyfish side, and it's kind of a mismatch of what's out there. And looking at what we could do, I mean, this takes advantage. We already have a big foothold in NVMe technology. Now, this is a PCI, effectively PCI NVMe technology space, and we said, we can do a better product and at a really good cost point and give it that support and give it the right reader so you get full speed and bring that package together. Now, it's much easier for us to support the ecosystem when everything is OWC, because a lot of the calls, we find ourselves supporting a problem that's with something else that has nothing to do with the OWC side. And here we have that whole control. And it's very easy to point. And honestly, a customer is happy for us. They're much happier. Nobody's happy when there's any issue. And like I said, what we do to prevent issues in the first place is pretty, it's not insane. It's probably one of the most sane thing we can do. I mean, anything we can do to make the customer experience, we insulate the customers from all the other joy that happens in the technology world. We, again, plug and play and go. But if somebody calls up and it's they think it's one thing, but it's another, it's much easier to take care of that customer if it is a problem. And again, we can't say there's always issues. I mean, I had to send my Apple laptop in, that stuff happens. But it's much easier to have a customer say, yeah, it's this, not that, we'll get that swapped out for you, as opposed to it's this, not that, and you're going to have to go. So you're going to have to go to where you got that other product from. We're sorry that it really is actually the problem.
Now, the Atlas media cards, the SD cards and the CF cards have been out for a while. How do you improve upon technology like a memory card?
Just like a lot of different things, there's a lot of variability in the controller options, the firmware that supports that controller, and the mix of flash that goes into it. Focusing on a high grade of PSLC and also next generation PSLC, which uses less power, generates less heat, and has much longer durability. Now, in fairness, everybody has the opportunity to I'd say catch up. But we came into an entry point where we could take, really put together a better solution with what's available today, as opposed to, we've been building this for a while. It's wonderful. There's really no motivation to change it. So we are to come up with a better product, really market timing. And you're right. I mean, it's not to say that somebody else can't take a product apart and try to do something similar, but we maintain these things. We're not flavor of the week. It's not, you know, how cheap can we build it? What's the option to build it cheaper this week? You know, we always seek to push the envelope and make sure that, you know, whether it's durability, performance, you know, with a focus first and foremost on reliability, you know, we're giving our customers the best that we can build versus, you know, this is the best today. And, you know, a year from now or 2 years from now, you know, if we can just leave it the same, we leave it the same. We leave what we have to leave the same where things are spec'd in. I mean, there's certain things where if it's being qualified for a customer, you know, they don't want to have to requalify. But in places where we can improve the product and maintain, you know, the same basic requirement, but provide improvement. And again, we do all the work behind the scenes. So it's completely transparent and not, it's just not even something a customer has to worry about. That's the big thing. It's always making things better and taking advantage of, you know, our own you know, IP. And again, just the way technology advances, things are definitely always moving forward. And some of that also is making sure that, you know, not everything is, things move forward, but they don't always get better. You know, a perfect example of that would be, you know, what happened with SSDs really a year or so ago when a lot of companies moved to using QLC. You know, we do use QLC in a couple of our models, but it's with a special mix and proprietary firmware that manages with PSLC. So the performance is through and through sustained on the drive. You don't have 1% of the drive, you know, written to, and suddenly your 1,000 megs a second drops to less than 100 megs a second, you know, which is typical of pretty much every QLC drive out there. You know, you have to be very, very careful, you know, making sure that advancements in technology are also met with, you know, we don't just switch because it's a new technology.
Yeah.
You know, we move forward and make sure that we can maintain the performance and the requirements that our customer has on the various applications they're going to be using these products with. You know, our Mercury Pro SSDs, even looking at 2.5-inch SATA technology, I mean, we are shipping, you know, the fastest 2.5-inch SATA drives in the world today.
Yeah, and performance is so important, especially when you look at people. I mean, we're pretty loyal, you know, whether we're video, you know, recording video or audio or just even photos. We're loyal to the brands that we use because of the quality, right? It's not, we're not just going to go out and buy, you know, this brand or that brand just because we need an SD card. We need to know that that writes at the speed that it says it's going to. It reads at the speed it's going to, so that we can take those high resolution images or record that high resolution video and not worry about it not coming out the way it's supposed to. And that's super important. And for people who, you know, aren't in that field, you know, it's one of those small little nuances that when you are in the field, you realize really quickly, wait a second, there is a big difference here. These numbers aren't just here for namesake. They're here because they actually mean something. And to have a company that stands behind that and also make sure that they, you know, meet those expectations, that's super important.
We found it really interesting that there's a lot of company, and they're not bad cars necessarily, but you know, their peak speed is a lot higher than their sustained speed.
Yeah.
And it's, that's, you know, you read right, mostly on the right side, but it's like, that's, you know, kind of, it's interesting. I mean, there's a lot of opportunity again with the, with these different media cards to improve what was being delivered, you know, in totality versus, you know, here's a great spec, but oh yeah, well, sure. If you, after a few writes, yeah, the speed drops, you know, with our cards, it's a pretty darn flat line across the media at peak speed. So that's, and, you know, something else we also found out is we, you know, we're looking at what different readers people were using. And this is on the SD card side. You know, there's some readers that people say, these are the fastest readers. You know, we certainly have, you know, we put a high level of importance on every customer. That includes our internal customers and our internal knowledge for what our own group needs. And we have a pretty, I mean, we've done the historically when we were 10 people, it was this way. And now with 300 people, it's this way. The reader that's inside our docks actually beats the speed of, you know, the so-called best external SD readers. I said, wow, that's really cool. Instead of using, we used the one, it's okay, those benchmarks are nice. They're good. And then it's, how's our dock performing? We should be way up. And we made a good choice in terms of what we put in there for readers. Said, oh, it's about, you know, 10, 15 megs a second faster in readings. I said, fantastic. So every place we can, I mean, we really do, you know, look to go beyond. Even the docks putting into, you know, USB chipsets for the hubbing. A lot of companies split hubs, you know, the same course we can do, and that's, you lose bandwidth. You know, when we built and when we designed our first Thunderbolt dock, without even, you know, considering, you know, the different, how, where this would impact, you know, like video guys that have multiple, you know, cameras connected doing multi-streaming, Now, that wasn't a thought. The thought was, I mean, we need more bandwidth. We want to make sure that people can use these ports, you know, to their maximum speed, not, you know, see a reduction if they have a bunch of devices going. And some of the first reviews, and I'll never forget, I said, hey, you just made possible what no other dock was making possible, because we actually get the bandwidth they need from these ports. And the real revelation to us was the other docks out there hadn't done this.
Yeah.
And it was kind of, to us, I mean, it wasn't even a second thought. This was common sense. We're putting the ports on. This is what these ports need to do. This is how we're going to design the product. You know, we've gone through it. It's a fun thing. I mean, it's you know, you learn a lot. I mean, there's all sorts of, you know, whammies that happen out there. I mean, a frequency change, I remember a few years, this is like 7 years ago, a cellular frequency change actually created an issue for some of our earlier docs. It was resolved, but it was one of the, it took us 6 months to figure what was on. It was not a, it wasn't something that was, it was very difficult. It literally happened in some places, not others. And then we finally figured out this has to do with, you know, the new iPhones and a new frequency. And it's like, crap. Okay, that's why. I mean, it was weird. We have somebody, you know, finally as somebody, I think one of our own people said, and we, you know, he swapped docks, and then it came, well, the same dock works here, but it doesn't work there. And then had to kind of narrow in and say, holy camole, because here we go. This is, it wasn't enough either. It wasn't, if we had a larger sample group, we would have figured it out faster. But nonetheless, you know, these are things that go into the workflow and the QC and the testing that, you know, we certainly have done. Again, it's been in this. Thunderbolt was, you know, new a decade ago. Yeah. Thunderbolt is, there's nothing faster external, you know, that has the plug and play capability over copper without, you know, very specialized expensive cables. There's, I'd say we have the experience we have, and we have more products for Thunderbolt today than any other manufacturer on the planet in terms of shipping in the market. The experience certainly has helped us certainly make products that, I'd say we were making great products, you know, 10 years ago, making great products 5 years ago. And every year, you know, henceforth, I'd say the level of solution that we ship, you know, from a customer experience side is not exponentially better, but the odds of an issue become exponentially lower as we've continued to really hone that experience with, you know, this high-speed bus.
So what does 2022 look like for OWC?
Looks fantastic. We're super excited. You know, with these new media cars, the mini stack. We have a host of other Thunderbolt solutions coming out. We're really glad to be bringing back a high performance 4 terabyte bus power Thunderbolt drive again. We'd had the Envoy Pro EX. It had an integrated cable. When we went to the SX model, so you can plug your own cable in. You know, it was the do 4 terabytes was just slightly over the certification level. And now we have a drive that's with, again, newer flash that lets us bring that power back down, and we're back to a bus power 4 terabyte. All these things are great for OWC, and more importantly, great for our customers that need more storage, need faster storage, they'll need a whole host of things that, you know, again, technology moves, and, you know, we continue to bring that technology forward for everybody. And I do want to talk about Thunderbolt certification. You know, it's pretty interesting, and, you know, we have concerns with just how certification is being enforced out there. It's really important that devices be certified, especially bus power devices. You know, and we can tell you firsthand, there is a reason that now we couldn't do our four. We would have loved to have shipped a 4 terabyte. And in most settings, that 4 terabyte, even with the power level it draws, was pretty well, it was tolerable. When I say tolerable, it didn't affect the computer, but it wasn't something that we put in, you wouldn't want in a production environment. It wasn't something that, yeah, you would have wanted, you know, on your bus. And depending on just on the basis that because of the power draw, there's always a chance that you could have a drop or could impact something else on the Thunderbolt bus, just the way power operates. You know, certification and being compliant with certification ensures products you connect to your Mac or PC for Thunderbolt will always work and won't have any issues, you know, working with other devices that are Thunderbolt or USB-C on that system. And there's some folks out there that are even flagrant saying, we can't get this certified, but you can have it. And it's like, yeah. And, you know, it's, I'm sure it'll work. I mean, it's one of those things where, and this is interesting, you know, we promise, you know, we make promises that we can keep, and those promises create high expectations. And when you can lower the expectation and people want it to work, you know, you can become, you know, drink a little bit of the Kool-Aid and become enthusiastic about something working. And it's, you really don't want to be naysay, because, yeah, you're a rebel, you're doing something outside the bounds. And, you know, the bottom line is those solutions, you know, you do risk serious issue out there. And I look forward to Intel really, you know, tamping that down. It's a little bit crazy. I mean, the being the Thunderbolt program, you know, there's a lot of requirements. I mean, it's tempting. I mean, there's certainly we love the ship. Hell, we love the ship with warnings. I mean, there's just too much risk. I mean, we already see it. And I get it. By having something that's tightly controlled, you don't end up with a situation where you ship it to a customer, they put it into some sort of production use. Maybe they're complying with whatever the special requirement is, but then a year from now or 6 months from now, something changes in that setup. Maybe somebody else comes in and it's somebody else's rig now. And whatever was needed to keep that jury rig, whatever needed to keep that little exception, covered, has been eliminated, and now problems start. You don't really blame the, you don't even necessarily know what it is because it's hard to diagnose. It should work. It's supposed to work. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. It must be a computer. Must be something wrong with Thunderbolt. Ultimately reflects bad on the technology, overall technology, not a single product. And Thunderbolt is something that really, it's designed just like OWC products. It's designed to always work, always deliver, plug and play and go with a consistent experience so that you're not chasing your tail troubleshooting. There are certainly variations Thunderbolt, the cable you include, quality of cable, quality of, what you put inside, your Thunderbolt solutions, the chipsets you choose for a Thunderbolt solution, for that matter. But, just like those elements, we don't want the technology. Properly certified solutions mean that it always works and you don't have to chase, why isn't something working when, you've got these variables that you just don't know about or don't have control over.
You know how many people I answer, when people ask me the question why something's not working, and it comes down to, a not certified cable. How many times is just the cable, the issue, let alone the fact that the product may not itself be certified? It's absolutely ridiculous. Larry, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. We love catching up with you. There's so much to talk about, and we're going to have more to talk about, I'm sure, throughout the year. So thank you for being here with us.
Hey, it's a pleasure. Hey, check out our new OWC.com site. There's so much more than just MagSales to explore, but you can see all the different technologies that OWC is involved offering and, frankly, making workflows and people's technology experience better.
Larry O'Connor, the founder of OWC. Check out them at MagSales.com. It is your Tech Report. Thank you for being here this week on our CES special. We'll be talking to a lot of companies in the coming weeks that were at CES all about their technology and their announcements. So don't worry about it if we didn't get to them this week. On behalf of Mitchell Whitfield, I am Marco Flalo. Thank you for being with us. We'll catch you again next week.
You've been tuned in to Your Tech Report. Join us again next week for another edition. And be sure to follow Your Tech Report online. Email us, contact@yourtechreport.com. Follow us on Twitter @YourTechReport. Like us on Facebook.com/YourTechReport. For the latest in breaking tech news and reviews, YourTechReport.com.
Kids, I'm your eager beaver.
And I'm Mr. Grizzly.
If you love politics
or hate politics,
then have we the perfect podcast for you.
The True North Eager Beaver.
Incisive political commentary.
We keep you up to date
and give you the political and media literacy you seek
to help you
cut through the bovine fecal matter.
Facts first.
Sound analysis.
Sometimes I growl.
Sometimes I sass.
We impart civics and build community.
And we share some laughs along the way.
Being informed
and engaged has never been more fabulous.
Or sexy. Catch us on the Dean Blundell Network. Or on our YouTube channel.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Because democracy is something you do.
Hi, I'm Mercedes Nickel, 4-time Winter Olympian and host of Dropping In, a podcast with Mercedes. This is a podcast where I interview a bunch of different people. I get the good, the bad, and the ugly, as well as I share my stories along the way. Now you can drop in at droppingin.com or subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube. I'll see you soon.